Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome to Sports Day. So Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. And for Kia, the all-new Kia Sorento has landed. Sam McClure back alongside Shane McGuinness. Shane, welcome.
Nice to see you back, Sam, after a week off. Fair to say it wasn't a quiet week in the world of sport.
And happened.
A few of those stories are continuing.
I was actually really happy I took the week off.
Yeah, well, Jimmy filled the void nicely, nice to see you back because tennis is still at the front of the agenda. Footy confirmed today. David Noble, the role at North Melbourne. We'll speak to him shortly. But yeah, certainly no shortage of stories around, and many of which continue to be influenced by the coronavirus.
It's going to be a big show. David Noble, as Shane said, to join us in about 15 minutes' time. He was unveiled officially in a Zoom press conference, such as the world of 2020, today at Arden Street in his brand new colours. He was very impressive. Looking forward to asking him some more things. And a man that I wonder if he'd be a good fit for North Melbourne. Surely he'll find another home, and that is Shane Savage, delisted today by St Kilda. Although I think the man himself announced it on Twitter, which was a little bit unusual. We might ask Shane Savage about that a little later. But I listened to you and Jimmy all week last week, such as when you take a week off, you end up just listening to the show anyway. And you were pretty strong on the tennis. Mm. So the news I can bring tonight is that my understanding is that Craig Tiley and Tennis Australia executives will be presenting tonight and tomorrow to the Andrews government and also the DHHS about their plans for the 2021 Australian Open. Now, you get the sense that the Andrews government would like to push it back. There's a lot of moving parts here. I wonder how many of the other states were approached by Tennis Australia before they decided that they wanted to put all their eggs in the Melbourne basket, and then what conversation led to the Andrews government then saying, hang on, we might need to push this back. I think Christmas has really upset a few things because I think they're going to be prioritising Victorians coming home. And, you know, people have used the example of, what about the Indian cricket team who have, I think, already arrived in Sydney ahead of the one-day series, and they're going to play that first test in mid-December in Adelaide. Hard, though, to compare a squad of, 20 cricketers plus staff to, what's it going to be, 256 players plus entourage? We're looking at more than 1,000 people.
You are, but I think there has been an onus on players to reduce that entourage.
It's still a big difference, though.
Is what I find hard to believe, Sam, is that if the government doesn't believe that they can quarantine them in December, and remember, the government outside, they've said 160 people a day at the moment. The state government has the ability to put the tennis players outside of that quota if they want.
Yeah.
So if you bring the players in, if you can't quarantine the players safely in December and early January, why does this government believe that they can do it safely in February or March?
Well, I think the gap from Christmas will help them.
But you can either quarantine them now.
It's bad for the optics.
But you can either quarantine them now at another hotel, whereby they're shuttled between the hotel and the tennis courts at Melbourne Park, or you can't. This is my argument. The government can either quarantine these players now, or they can't. You can't. Surely, what's going to be the difference between quarantining them in late December or in February, March? To me, there is no difference.
And join us on the Harcourts open line if you'd like to have your say on this. 13 13 32 for all things real estate. Speak to Harcourts and Club Mandalay, the beautiful must-play golf course in Melbourne's north.
Interesting what you were saying about this meeting between Tennis Australia and the government. Is it more focused on the players and the quarantine involved, or are we talking about the whole event as to how we will have fans at the Australian Open?
I think the former will be the large part of it, the prioritised part of the meeting, but I think it'll be, holistically, it'll be everything. I mean, it's a major event. And the build-up tournaments, without being disrespectful to them, are largely irrelevant. They don't make any money.
Not to the players, though.
Well, they're good warm-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. But ultimately, this is about the Australian Open more than anything.
Oh, 100%. And that I agree with. What's interesting, though, is that the players have said, look, we don't want to go to Australia, do 2 weeks quarantine, not have a warm-up event, and then 2 days later be playing in the first round
of the Australian Open. I can understand that. Anyway, we might know more this time tomorrow.
The issue I have too, I don't think you can have the Australian Open, and hopefully this isn't the case, in March, where it would then clash with the Formula One and the start of the AFL season. There's only so many events you can hold at once.
So the other issue to all of this, and people might roll their eyes at this, but these are the facts, as they were with Channel 7 and Fox and the AFL,
yep.
is that Channel 9 are going to have a fairly big say in this. Now, I don't know how much power they have in dictating when the quarantine can happen, but they're the major rights holder. They've paid hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, as Seven did for the cricket when they swapped. They don't want to move their marquee event from school holiday time in peak ratings to March.
No, absolutely not. Might not go up against footy.
No, and they'd be deserving, you would think, to ask for a significant discount if they did. Just changing tack for a little bit, and we're going to get David Noble on.
Mm.
Ben Buckley today.
Interesting comments.
Yeah. So he was on SEN this morning, and I was listening to the interview, and then all I read afterwards was, oh no, you know, Ben Buckley has basically put a time frame on when David Noble's team needs to get going before he's even stepped foot in the place. And I thought, let's go back and let's actually listen to the full grab with context.
These things are always hard to put an exact time frame on, Kingy, but there's no doubt that, you know, we are in a transition phase. We've got we've changed the age profile of the list dramatically in the last 6 months. We've got a young group, an exciting group coming through, but a core group who should take us, you know, through the next 5 to 10 years. So I think that realistically, you know, David's got, you know, 2 to 3 years to really get us into a position where we're competing regularly in the top four and ultimately looking to win a premiership. That's our ultimate goal.
Now, that's very different to what it was made out to be like online this morning. And you can't put all of that into 140 characters in Twitter or whatever the character limit is now. But the context of that is absolutely crucial. It is one thing to come out and say whatever the Gold Coast Sun said when they started, you know, they wanted to win, was it, what did they say? 3 premierships in the next 10 years.
It was by 2020,
like,
yeah.
That. And then Richmond, Brendan Gale on Footy Classified
Correct.
Actually said, you know, we want 80,000 members and 3 premierships by 2020. Now they've achieved that, funnily enough. But that's nothing like that. That's actually saying this is the ambition that we have. And he goes out of his way to say at the start of that, it's hard to put a timeline on it. So I think we've got to be careful here. And I think the 2020 version of us all like putting things into a context that suits us.
So is Ben Buckley saying David Noble will need 2 to 3 years to get North Melbourne into a top four premiership contending position? Or is he saying he's got 2 to 3 years to do it?
I think he's saying neither, to be honest. I think he's saying that we are going through a state of transition with our list. We like the fact that we've got a lot of talented youngsters on it. We're going to the draft this year and next year. Things change pretty quickly in footy, as we saw with the Brisbane Lions. And hopefully, by 2 to 3 years' time, when he's got his feet under the desk and we've been able to teach a game plan and get rid of some of the other players that are weighing the list down, for want of a better term, like they did at Melbourne, like they did at Carlton, we expect to be a pretty good team.
It's still a timeline, though, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Ben Buckley has still said 2 to 3 years, top four, premiership window. And for a team that
But he hasn't said that, Shane. You've got to take the context into it.
No, I know, but it is still a timeline of 2 to 3 years of expectation.
I think it's an ambition more than a timeline.
But it's still a timeline. Yeah. He has still said 2 to 3 years and linked top four with that 2 to 3 years.
North Melbourne fans, 13-13-32.
It's definitely an ambition.
We'll ask David Noble about this. He's going to join us very shortly. Before we get to him, though, Phil's in Sunbury. G'day, Phil.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are you?
We're good.
Listen, in relation to the tennis, yep. 256 players in our entourage is only half of it. You've got all the officials and ball boys, et cetera, et cetera. The other thing is, have you taken into account only 160 people are supposedly flying into Melbourne per day, but that doesn't stop people flying into Adelaide or Sydney. And so you can fly from Sydney to Melbourne, Adelaide to Melbourne without an issue at the moment. So I think a recalculation of all the figures. And I wonder if Tennis Australia couldn't think of one way to shorten a tournament, and that would be to take out one round of the tournament and reduce the number of players down from whatever by a group of 20. And so you might only have 9 days of a tournament instead of 14 because you don't allow as many players to join the tournament this time.
Phil, the problem is if you take out half the field at a Grand Slam event, you take out half the field in the entirety by taking out the first round. It changes a Grand Slam event.
Yeah. You can't do that because you can't change a Grand Slam. And the other reason?
Correct. And
TV.
Exactly. Yeah, so
they're paying for a certain amount of matches.
Correct. And that's not just Nine. That's ESPN. That's the BBC.
It's a world feed.
Everyone's got an interest in it. Yep. Ball Boys are already based here. A lot of the officials are based here.
I was going to say that, yeah.
As well. In terms, again, the state government has said 160 international arrivals a day.
Yeah.
That's fine. But if Premier Andrews said, okay, we're going to have 160 arrivals a day, the tennis is separate to that. He could do that if he so wanted to, given the economic benefit of an event like the Australian Open and the importance of an event like the Australian Open to Victoria.
John's in Warrnambool, wants to talk about his Kangaroos. G'day, John.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we?
We're well.
Now look, guys, Ben Buckley is allowed to have an expectation. It's not set in stone. You know, like, they've been through a horrendous period of time for various reasons. I think Ben is just saying that, you know, or I think if you were to ask any of the presidents of the league, they'd all want to be finishing the top four in 2 to 3 years. And I don't think that's any different to what Ben has said. So I think Ben is saying making a real sound comment, and I say, go the Roos.
Johnny, you still there?
Yes.
Do you think it's optimistic? Do you think this team can be top four as a Roos supporter in 2 to 3 years? Can they be top four?
Well, it's possible. I mean, anything is possible because we don't know foresights of injuries and all the rest of the things that come into it. You know, they've got 2 first-round picks. Is it possible? It's possible. It may not be probable, but why not have an expectation for the players, for the supporters, for the coterie groups, of having an expectation. It's not set in stone. I don't think it's unrealistic to think it could happen. More realistically would be a top eight, no doubt about that. But top four is probably, though, you know, that's an outer marker. But I think it's bound.
Good on you, John. I'm sort of with John in this one. I think it's good to have ambition. Anyway, why don't we ask the man himself? David Noble's going to join us on the other side of this. This is Sports Day for the all-new Kia Sorento and Red Energy.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
Welcome back to Sports Day. It is 23 minutes past six. Sam McClure and Shane McGuinness with you. Joined by a man. Where he goes, Shane, success follows. He was part of a very successful team at the Adelaide Football Club. He then went to Brisbane. We know what's happened to them. They've astronomically gone up thanks to the likes of him and Greg Swan and Chris Fagan. And now he goes to a football club that's in need of leadership and in need of change, and their fans hope quickly. That man is David Noble, the new North Melbourne coach, and he joins us live on Sports Day. David, welcome to the show and congratulations.
Thanks, Sam. G'day, Shane. It's a pleasure to join you.
David, we heard a lot of what you said in your press conference this afternoon via Zoom. Can I ask you, what kind of coach are you going to be?
A positive one, Sam. I'll be tough. We'll have a high standard and high demand. I think you have to when you want to win games and play in successful finals. But we also, you know, and I include the other coaches in that, that we want to be a coaching group that embraces our players, that listens to our players, helps them get better and continue to strive to be successful.
What do you think the biggest difference is from what you've seen in your time in footy, in different levels, by the way, between the coaches that are able to extract the most ability out of their players versus the ones that, even though they're not trying to, end up alienating themselves and it backfires?
It's probably there's two or three things that come to mind. One is the level, I think, of relationship and trust that you build with your group. I think there's an understanding that you need to stick to your plan. You know, you've got to have consistency with your messaging. I think with a group, if you set a plan, even if the plan's not right, mate, and you've got everybody on board, that actually becomes a strength. And then I think there's some agility that you need to have as a group to be able to grow together, challenge each other, you know, go from sort of simple to sort of that complex area and improve your game plan as you go. So, I mean, ultimately, that the coach makes the decision. I mean, that's what I'm employed to do. I'm employed to coach and win games and play in finals. But, yeah, that's probably the three things that come to mind.
David, congratulations on the role. What made you want this position at North Melbourne? There was a lot of rhetoric once North Melbourne was looking for a new senior coach as to who would want it. Is it a poison chalice? So much work that needs to be done. Sitting back, what made you go, all right, I'm ready to take this challenge on?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Shane. And I think it was born out of the conversations that I'd had with Ruzi over that particular weekend to make me reflect. Look at inside a bit closer. I think someone that had actually, you know, come to me and said, look, we think you've got some skills that, you know, could suit the role. I sat back and talked to a couple of people that I really trust. And I guess my manner and skill set, even in the management circle, was, you know, about coaching people and wanting to improve them and watch them grow and challenge them. So I'd set a really long goal when I first started, you know, sort of the 15 years I thought was going to take me to get to that level, and it didn't evolve, and I've just continued to grow as an individual. And now I think the cycle and the approach that a senior coach takes on in a club is a slightly different dynamic skill set than what I probably had 10 years ago.
It's a nice coincidence. Chris Fagan goes from general manager of football to a senior coach at the Brisbane Lions, and now his general manager of football becomes a senior coach. What have you learnt from Chris? And not, I shouldn't say his parting words, because obviously you're close mates and he'll have a bit more to say along the journey, but what were his words as you took on this role?
Oh, he was really clear. He was absolutely go for it. You've got my blessing. You know, I ran a couple of things past him in regards to a presentation. I'm thinking about this, and you know, he couldn't have been more helpful. You know, no one at the Brisbane Lions wanted me to go. But, yeah, he and the club were really supportive. When I sent him a text and, you know, I said, I've got it, with a couple of little expletives in there, and he had a chance to jump out of a luncheon and ring me back, he was absolutely thrilled a bit. So, look, it's an interesting one. If you look at both Chris and my history, and you have a look at how we've come through, we're two dead set coaches that just moved into admin. You know, if you look at our history and the length of time that we spent in the coaching chair along the way, from TAC Cup to development to VFL reserves, you know, we're both educators and teachers, you know, at heart.
Nobes, you talked today about, you know, wanting North Melbourne members and fans to go to the footy and watch individual players develop.
Yep.
I know you've only been there for 10 seconds, but you would have watched them a fair bit. Who are the sort of ones that excite you, that you're looking forward to seeing grow under your eyes?
Well, I mean, you never like sort of probably pulling a lot of them out, you know, Sammy, it's because you don't want to put them under pressure, but seeing that we're only in November or December.
It couldn't hurt, surely.
No, I've liked what I've seen from the Larkies and the Zuhas and Taron Thomas.
Yep.
You know, I think there's some upside in Jed Anderson and the way that I remember seeing him play in his junior times, how he's played some really good outside balance area. Simcom, LDU, Curtis Taylor's done a great job this year. I mean, just the list goes on. And I think it's an exciting opportunity to create an environment and a culture where these guys feel it's okay to have engagement with the coaches. It's okay to not get everything right on the training track or in a game. and learn from it and be encouraged to keep going. That is what we need our fans to see when they come through the gate, is to go, I'm going to come and I've got Jai Simpkins' number on my back, and I'm wearing his jumper, and I'm a Jai Simpkins fan, and I'm going to watch him get better.
Yeah.
It's the members club. We've got to, provide an avenue for our fans to feel engaged, to want to come to games, to watch our guys play. And look, even when we're not going all that well, there'll be some times of that this year, they can actually see what we're trying to do.
They're passionate fans, the Arden Street fans. I reckon the shinbone of spirit is something that's polarised a few of them over the last few years. Nobes, that some think it's something that should continue to be embraced. Others think it should be left in the past and let's forge our own path. Where do you sit on it?
Yeah, I got asked that a bit, Sammy, in the lead up to it, and even myself. I think we need to embrace it. It is real. In talking to a lot of the young guys, they gave me that information without even asking. What is a shin boner? They are very, very clear that it is an embedded spirit that our past players have committed to this football club and that they need to pay respect to when they go out on the field. Now, we might not have been able to do that in the manner that we've wanted to, but I've been extremely impressed with the embedded DNA that has in our environment, and I'm tipping it's here to stay. We might need to, give it a poke and make sure that we do pay our respect to it, but certainly it is a real part of the culture here, and maybe we need to give it a bit of a feed, mate, and to let it flourish a little bit more.
Speaking on the pass, would you pick up the phone to Wayne Carey?
Yeah, why not? Absolutely. I want to get an understanding of the cultural aspects of, my new club. I've been lucky enough to sit in a couple of interviews, across from Glenn Archer, a person that I sat back as a football fan and just admired the sheer brutality as to how he's defended, not only his position, but his jumper. I'm now working with John Blakey, premiership player here. So absolutely, I'll be trying to work hard to get an understanding of what our fans have experienced over the last, several years.
David, the comments of Ben Buckley have been widely played today about the ambition or the expectation.
Which comments?
In two to three years' time, challenging for the top four, being in a premiership window. Is it ambition or is it expectation from the North Melbourne board?
No, I think it's an ambition. And we talked about that at the meeting I had with the board, Shane. I don't have an issue with the chairman, making it an ambition and a statement. We want to grow our membership as well. We can't do that if we're not winning games and playing finals. We want to continue to broaden our connection with Tassie as well. So it's not in my contract as part of my KPIs. So that's, I understand and respect the way that, we want to be seen. I talked today that we need to be a reliable team. If we can be reliable, perform, deliver consistent performance, then, who knows what happens. So we're not going to put a ceiling on ourselves. I mean, if we'd have sat back here in 2017 and, we'd said Brisbane Lions are going to finish in the top four in 3 years' time, or 4 years' time, people would have scoffed at it.
Before I let you go, Collingwood's got a talented young man by the name of John Noble, flourished this season. Yeah. What was his advice to Dad?
I hope free rent was part of it.
Well, I've got to pick up that conversation, Sam. I'm not very happy with where that's been left off just yet. What was his advice? His advice was, you'd always told us to chase your dreams, so you should do the same.
Oh, how
smart.
Good is that?
Smart,
very,
kid.
Very smart. Hey, David, in all honesty, it's great having you as part of the coaching fraternity. It's going to be an exciting time for this North Melbourne Footy Club. There might be a few bumps along the way, but let's hope that it's one that flourishes. Good luck.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate your interest in our great club.
Don't you, David? Congratulations.
David Noble there. More Sports Day for Kia and Red Energy after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today. Time for a Sports Day news update for Tyre Power. Awarded Canstar Blue's most satisfied customers again.
Quick sports update, Shane. Gold Coast will now have a maximum of 49 players on its list next year. They've been given approval to continue with an extended squad. Probably the right decision.
So this is all under their special consideration.
The only decision, yes, those considerations, as we know, will be stripped as soon as they get any good. The AFL last week announced rules on list spots, giving each club a minimum of 37 and a maximum of 44. And big news out of South Australia today. Ollie Wines inking a 4-year contract extension. So it's essentially a 6-year deal because he had two left. He's been linked to Essendon and Carlton in recent years. I would think this is a TPP thing as much as it is.
And will make him a one-club player.
Yeah, but that reduces his money overall per season.
But gets the commitment of 4 years.
Well, he gets the security.
Yep, absolutely.
Which makes complete sense. A man that's looking for security is Shane Savage, former Hawk, now former Saint. He's only 29. He's got footy left in him. He's going to join us next. That was our sports update for Tyre Power. Tyrepower.com.au.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
Welcome back to Sports Day for Maccas. Maccas 30 days, 30 deals is back. You can download the My Maccas app today. Shane Savage is the man that played 165, or I should say has played 165 games at the highest level. 56 of those he started at Hawthorn, Shane, and then he went on to be a mainstay across, well, the wing, midfield, halfback flank of the St Kilda Football Club, and then has helped to bring on the next wave of kids that have come along pretty quickly under his tutelage, I guess, as a halfback flanker in the likes of Caulfield and Clark. And he's now looking for a third club at the age of 29. Shane, as we welcome you in, thanks for coming on. Are you going to try to continue your career with a third club in 2021?
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys. Look, I'm still keen. The body and mind's feeling good. Like you said, I'm only 29 going on 30, but feeling pretty young. So I'm looking forward to hopefully continuing my career elsewhere.
That's because you are young, Shane. 29 going on 30 is a great age, and you should say that you are young because you are. You announced the
in
news.
40 years.
you're still young in general years. You announced the news on Twitter, Shane. I think you sat on it for a few days. You got in before the club. What was the reason for that?
Yeah, look, I was hoping it wasn't taken out of context, but look, I found out on Thursday, and I told the club to just give me a few days to just digest it with my family. So I went away and just stood on it for a little bit, and I thought, you know, the whispers are starting to get a bit louder over the weekend, and I thought Sunday night was a perfect opportunity to get it all out there and do it on my terms. And the club are really supportive of it. I probably put him on the back foot a little bit, but there was no animosity between us. It was fine, and I'm sort of glad I did it that way. And to be honest,
Shane, I loved your honesty on Twitter, admitting that it did hit you hard. After all, you spent many years at St Kilda before that at Hawthorn as an AFL player. This is the tough side of professional sport. I think a lot of fans often forget about. We can watch you run down the wing. We can watch you thrive on the field, but we forget about the tough side of sport when it can come to an end with a club.
Absolutely. It took a massive toll on me the past 7 weeks. Just the unknown and not having an idea on where I stand and whether I'd get a contract or not was quite debilitating at times. And, me and my partner struggled with it, but in a way, yeah, it didn't go my way, but it was a relief to finally have an answer, and it just felt like a weight off my shoulders, and it's a real shame that I didn't get a contract, but just there isn't as much mental strain.
How do you sell yourself now to another club? What's the process for someone in your position who has so much experience at the highest level? He's obviously a known quantity. Teams and coaches know what they'd be picking up. Do you go out and sell yourself? Do you work with your manager to chat with clubs? What's the process?
Yeah, look, hopefully my manager's putting in a good word out there, but I'm hoping most clubs, we're watching the semi-final against Richmond, and clearly my form is still there. I can clearly continue to have a real impact at AFL level. And sorry, I'm quite a humble man, so I don't really like to pump my own tyres up here. But
That's okay, Shane. We can do it for you. Don't worry about that.
But look, I've got experience, and you know, I can come into an AFL side and play footy straight away. But in saying that, I'm experienced enough now to start developing young players and being a mentor and start to really guide some youngsters and potentially help them.
Would you play into state, Shane?
Absolutely. You know, I've spoken to my wife about it, and we're prepared for a journey ahead. I mean, I've grown up and I've played in Melbourne my whole career. So if that arises, then yeah, we'd be keen for another adventure.
And your reflection on your time at the Saints, obviously very fruitful after you moved from the Hawks. I know it probably hasn't ended the way that you wanted to, although your last game for the club was a semi-final, so you were held in obviously pretty high esteem. How do you think their place, because their improvement has been very quick in the last couple of years in particular?
Yeah, it sure has. I'm obviously really proud of the career I've had at the Saints. To play 100 games and have my name on the locker is something I'll always cherish. But yeah, look, they're in really good shape. They've traded in some really good players the last couple of years. Crouch, Hill, Hanbury as well, and Jones, who've had a real impact at the club. And I think, you know, Gags and Rats have put the list in a really good position to hopefully bring some success to the club, which is well overdue.
Shane, if there isn't to be another opportunity, how do you transition now from a footballer's life into more normality? Do you think about that in case there isn't an opportunity at another club?
Absolutely. You know, I am starting to prepare off field. I mean, if a club does come, then it's a bonus. But it excites me. It scares me. I've never had a job outside of footy. But you know, the club and the AFLPA are, you know, really supported throughout this period. So I'm sure I'm going to have a lot of support. And you know, I'm sure if a club doesn't come, there'll be a lot of local clubs kind of ringing me up to, you know, hopefully come and play and potentially get a job through there. So I'm not too sure what the future looks like, what my career looks like outside of footy. I've got a few avenues I might go down, but I'm really excited.
Just impressed at how grounded you are, and I think you made an excellent point that it's not just about Shane Savage the player, but Shane Savage the tutor, the teacher, that can certainly help a younger team. And as Sam said, the fact that you're willing to move interstate, that certainly opens up the opportunity.
Yep. Shane, it's been a really good career so far, 165 games. You're still young in footy terms, 29. Let's hope that it continues with a third club. Good luck.
Appreciate it. Thanks, boys.
Shane Savage there, delisted St Kilda defender. I was actually surprised when I was reading through his career today that he only played 56 games for Hawthorn.
Yeah.
It felt long. The 156, yeah, okay. I thought it was more of an even split. Anyway, there you go. Just sometimes you think about players and their different clubs in different lights.
Hard to. And he was just so realistic that, you know, I do have to look ahead given where I am in my career.
This is Sports Day. We're powered by Renergy and Kia. We're going to talk country racing next. Maggie Payne is going to give us the absolute latest. You're listening to Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Sam McClure and Shane McGuinness with you as we approach the 7 o'clock news, Shane. Lots of great, high-quality country racing going on around this beautiful state of ours. We know that racing, a bit like footy and the NRL, has been something that's kept us going through COVID. And horse racing actually never stopped. I, for one, geez, it was good waking up on a Saturday, reading some form and seeing some racing. Anyway, we digress. You can explore Victoria with country racing and visit countryracing.com. In fact, visit countryracing.racing.com. Maggie Payne is from Country Racing Victoria, and she joins us on Sports Day. Maggie, Spring Carnival wrapped up this weekend with the Ballarat and Kilmore Cups. Tell us about them.
Yeah, Sam, it was a big weekend of Country Cups, and it feels like a big spring. And as you mentioned, racing was able to keep going. So it was a nice way to wrap up, I guess, our Spring Carnival, but the action doesn't stop there. Our summer racing is some of our busiest time and lots of family-friendly days. But, yeah, it was good to end the in the weekend or Spring Carnival on a high with Ballarat and Kilmore.
As Sam mentioned, Maggie, the great thing now is the crowds are coming back to sporting events and country racing is no exception. What kind of numbers are you looking at getting back in to those country race meets? Because they are fun days for the whole family.
Yeah, that's right, Shane. And we were listening to the Premier's announcement last night and we're really happy to hear that we'll be welcoming people back soon. There's people, Racing Victoria and the government, state government and the Racing Minister, Martin Pakula, are working in the background now on what this event framework looks like, not just for racing, but lots of other sporting codes. And, of course, the cricket's up there in contention at the moment. So we're hoping, it might come a little too soon for the races this weekend in country, but up to 500 people on course from next week.
Great.
And got a few feature country cups in the next couple of weeks. So welcoming back up to 500 and hopefully increasing over the weeks to come.
So one of those Maggies, the Wodonga Cup, Jamie Carr is having some sort of season. I think she's actually in front of Victorian Jockey Premiership at the moment. Is she on the favourite in the Wodonga Cup on Friday?
I don't know whether it'll start favourite, Sam, but she is with the local Hope Strome, the David O'Pray at Wodonga. So
right.
Unfortunately, it's come a little too soon for Wodonga. They can't get public on course, but lucky owners will still be able to go on course. So it's a big signing if Jamie heading up to Wodonga for the day for a few rides, and it's good for the Wodonga Club. But yeah, she is absolutely flying at the moment and just made a lot of other jockeys look second rate during the Spring Carnival.
She has.
So she's having a year to remember.
No doubt she is. Good on you, Maggie. Maggie Payne there from Country Racing Victoria. We're hoping to have Jamie on the show with us later this week.
Terrific
way,
spring.
She's going to have, it'll be a great interview as well because she talks really well and she's a great ambassador of the sport. If you want to get back to the country, explore Victoria with Country Racing, you can visit countryracing.racing.com. That's all from us on Sports Day, Shano, for this Monday evening.
I hope they get fans back to the races, and the more fans we see at sporting events, Sam, the better it is for us all.
No doubt. This has been Sports Day for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That is Red Energy and our good friends at Kia. It's coming up to the 7 o'clock news. Shane and I will be back tomorrow. You are listening to Sports Day. It's all for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Remember to check the fire danger rating in your district. You go to emergency.vic.gov.au. Big hour ahead, Shane McGuinness. Our good friend Daniel Garb is going to stop by to chat all things from the World Game, the EPL, the A-League and more. We run an eye. By the way, I saw him tweeting last night sort of saying that Liverpool's home record might come to an end because he's obviously a big Liverpool fan.
Big call.
And of course it didn't.
Yeah.
The reverse Moz was not unnoticed, by the way.
On that occasion.
Mm. I think they'll just win it again, to be honest. We run an eye over the trade activities of the Demons and the Roos. And Shane Savage, who will be one of many players, I reckon, looking for a new home in 2021 that will face a nervous week or three ahead, he's going to join us as well. 29 years of age, I still think has good football left in him. But first, earlier tonight, we spoke with a man now in charge with the long, well, not long if you hear from Ben Buckley, but anyway, at least difficult.
That was unprecedented.
Of the North Melbourne
Footy
Club.
What Ben Buckley said.
Well,
I was surprised.
We talked about this in the first hour.
Yeah.
I think when you play the quote in full, I think it changes the context of the quote to me. It was very, very convenient from us in the media to pick out the one sentence that made it look like, if this doesn't happen, then it's a failure. That's not what he was saying.
Yeah, still a bit of pressure, though.
No, I agree.
An expectation. Not pressure, expectation.
I wouldn't have said it, but anyway, we digress. Let's hear from their new coach, David Noble. He caught up with us earlier.
Thanks, Sam. G'day, Shane. It's a pleasure to join you.
David, we heard a lot of what you said in your press conference this afternoon via Zoom. Can I ask you, what kind of coach are you going to be?
A positive one, Sam. I'll be tough. We'll have a high standard and high demand. I think you have to when you want to win games and play in successful finals. But we also, you know, and I include the other coaches in that we want to be a coaching group that embraces our players, that listens to our players, helps them get better and continue to strive to be successful.
What do you think the biggest difference is from what you've seen in your time in footy, in different levels, by the way, between the coaches that are able to extract the most ability out of their players versus the ones that, even though they're not trying to, end up alienating themselves and it backfires?
There's two or three things that come to mind. One is the level, I think, of relationship and trust that you build with your group. I think there's an understanding that you need to stick to your plan. You know, you've got to have consistency with your messaging. I think with a group, if you set a plan, even if the plan's not right, mate, and you've got everybody on board, that actually becomes a strength. And then I think there's some agility that you need to have as a group to be able to grow together, challenge each other, you know, go from sort of simple to sort of that complex area and improve your game plan as you go. So, I mean, ultimately, that the coach makes the decision. I mean, that's what I'm employed to do. I'm employed to coach and win games and play in finals. But, yeah, that's probably the three things that come to mind.
David, congratulations on the role. What made you want this position at North Melbourne? There was a lot of rhetoric once North Melbourne was looking for a new senior coach as to who would want it. Is it a poison chalice? So much work that needs to be done. Sitting back, what made you go, all right, I'm ready to take this challenge on?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Shane. And I think it was born out of the conversations that I'd had with Ruzzi over that particular weekend to make me reflect. Look at inside a bit closer. I think someone that had actually, you know, come to me and said, look, we think you've got some skills that, you know, could suit the role. I sat back and talked to a couple of people that I really trust, and I guess my manner and skill set, even in the management circle, was, you know, about coaching people and wanting to improve them and watch them grow and challenge them. So I'd set a really long goal when I first started, you know, sort of the 15 years I thought was going to take me to get to that level, and it didn't evolve, and I've just continued to grow as an individual. And now I think the cycle and the approach that a senior coach takes on in a club is a slightly different dynamic skill set than what I probably had 10 years ago.
It's a nice coincidence. Chris Fagan goes from general manager of football to a senior coach at the Brisbane Lions, and now his general manager of football becomes a senior coach. What have you learnt from Chris? And not, I shouldn't say his parting words, because obviously you're close mates and he'll have a bit more to say along the journey, but or his words as you took on this role?
Oh, he was really clear. He was absolutely go for it. You've got my blessing. You know, I ran a couple of things past him in regards to a presentation. I'm thinking about this, and you know, he couldn't have been more helpful. You know, he absolutely, no one at the Brisbane Lions wanted me to go. But yeah, he and the club were really supportive. When I sent him a text and, you know, I said, I've got it, with a couple of little expletives in there, and he had a chance to jump out of a luncheon and ring me back, he was absolutely thrilled a bit. So, look, it's an interesting one. If you look at both Chris and my history, and you have a look at how we've come through, we're two dead set coaches that just moved into admin. You know, if you look at our history and the length of time that we spent in the coaching chair along the way, from TAC Cup to development to VFL reserves, you know, we're both educators and teachers, you know, at heart.
Nobes, you talked today about, you know, wanting North Melbourne members and fans to go to the footy and watch individual players develop.
Yep.
I know you've only been there for 10 seconds, but you would have watched them a fair bit. Who are the sort of ones that excite you, that you're looking forward to seeing grow under your eyes?
Well, I mean, you never like sort of probably pulling a lot of them out, you know, Sammy, it's because you don't want to put them under pressure, but seeing that we're only in November or December.
It couldn't hurt, surely.
No, I've liked what I've seen from the Larkies and the Zuhas and Taron Thomas.
Yep.
You know, I think there's some upside in Jed Anderson and the way that I remember seeing him play in his junior times, how he's played some really good outside balance area. Simcom, LDU, Curtis Taylor's done a great job this year. I mean, just the list goes on. And I think it's an exciting opportunity to create an environment and a culture where these guys feel it's okay to have engagement with the coaches. It's okay to not get everything right on the training track or in a game. and learn from it and be encouraged to keep going. That is what we need our fans to see when they come through the gate, is to go, I'm going to come and I've got, you know, Jai Simpkins' number on my back and I'm wearing his jumper and I'm a Jai Simpkins fan and I'm going to watch him get better.
Yeah.
It's the members club. We've got to, you know, provide an avenue for our fans to feel engaged, to want to come to games, to watch our guys play. And look, even when we're not going all that well, there'll be some times of that this year, they can actually see what we're trying to do.
They're passionate fans, the Arden Street fans. I reckon the shinbone of spirit is something that's polarised a few of them over the last few years, Nobes. You know, that some think it's something that should continue to be embraced. Others think it should be left in the past and let's forge our own path. Where do you sit on it?
Yeah, I got asked that a bit, Sammy, in the lead up to it, and even myself. I think we need to embrace it. It is real. In talking to a lot of the young guys, they gave me that information without even asking. You know, like, what is a shin boner? They are very, very clear that it is an embedded spirit that our past players have committed to this football club and that they need to pay respect to when they go out on the field. Now, we might not have been able to do that in the manner that we've wanted to, but I've been extremely impressed with the embedded DNA that has in our environment, and I'm tipping it's here to stay. We might need to, you know, give it a poke and make sure that we do pay our respect to it, but certainly it is a real part of the culture here, and maybe we need to give it a bit of a feed, mate, and to let it flourish a little bit more.
Speaking on the pass, would you pick up the phone to Wayne Carey?
Yeah, why not? Absolutely. I want to get an understanding of the cultural aspects of, my new club. You know, I've been lucky enough to sit in a couple of interviews, you know, across from Glenn Archer, a person that I sat back as a football fan and just admired the sheer brutality as to how he's defended, you know, not only his position but his jumper. You know, I'm now working with John Blakey, you know, premiership player here. So absolutely, I'll be trying to work hard to get an understanding of what our fans have experienced over the last several years.
David, the comments of Ben Buckley have been widely played today about the ambition or the expectation.
Which comments? In two to three years' time,
challenging for the top four, being in a premiership window. Is it ambition or is it expectation from the North Melbourne board?
No, I think it's an ambition. And we talked about that at the meeting I had with the board, Shane. I don't have an issue with the chairman, you know, making it an ambition and a statement. You know, we want to grow our membership as well. We can't do that if we're not winning games and playing finals. We want to continue to broaden our connection with, you know, with Tassie as well. So it's not in my contract as part of my KPIs. So that's, I understand and respect the way that, you know, we want to be seen. You know, I talked today that we need to be a reliable team. If we can be reliable, perform, deliver consistent performance, then, you know, who knows what happens. So we're not going to put a ceiling on ourselves. I mean, if we'd have sat back here in 2017 and, you know, we'd said Brisbane Lions are going to finish in the top four in 3 years' time, I mean, or 4 years' time, people would have scoffed at it.
Before I let you go, Collingwood's got a talented young man by the name of John Noble, flourished this season. Yeah. What was his advice to Dad?
I hope free rent was part of it.
Well, I've got to pick up that conversation, Sam. I'm not very happy with where that's been left off just yet. What was his advice? His advice was, you'd always told us to chase your dreams, so you should do the same.
Oh, how
smart.
Good is that?
Smart,
very,
kid.
Very smart. Hey, David, in all honesty, it's great having you as part of the coaching fraternity. It's going to be an exciting time for this North Melbourne Footy Club. There might be a few bumps along the way, but let's hope that it's one that flourishes. Good luck.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate, and Shane, appreciate your interest in our great club.
David Noble there, who was very impressive, as he always is, Shane.
Oh, I think this is a terrific appointment.
So do I.
For North Melbourne. I mean,
I think it's the new way ahead in footy, by the way.
Coming from that general manager of footy point of view, or that elder statesman?
Well, both. I just think employing someone that is a communicator and a developer first and foremost, and then employing a team around him to be the tacticians, What, you know, like everyone's going looking for the next Alistair Clarkson, but no one, there's not a belief that, or a chance that he might not exist right now.
It's no coincidence, Sam, that David Noble comes from Brisbane, who have just done a similar thing with Chris Fagan, grabbing a general manager of football, making them their coach. Yep. Then all of a sudden, their general manager of football in David Noble now becomes a senior coach at North
Melbourne. And was part of a very successful organisation at Adelaide.
Oh, absolutely. That and, was and
when
before
he left.
It,
yeah. When
crumbled.
He left, yeah, the place fell down.
Crumbled.
Support local with AustralianMade.com.au. And remember, to be prepared for a fire, it could save your life. It's looking like it's going to be a warm summer, so make sure you download the Vic Emergency app at emergency.vic.gov.au. More Sports Day to come.
Monday night edition of Sports Day. Shane McGinnis alongside Sam McClure. You're listening all with thanks to Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Well, we started with Jimmy Bartel last week, and now that Sam's back, we will continue our countdown through the 18 sides and their, well, summary, Sammy, of their trade periods. Tonight we look at Melbourne and, quite coincidentally, North Melbourne as well, on the day they officially welcomed their new senior coach in David Noble. But let's start with the Demons. One in, two out. Mitch Hannon and Braden Pruce leave. Braden Pruce certainly to greener pastures. But the big one is Ben Brown.
Yep.
Leaving North Melbourne, one of a multitude of players to leave the Kangaroos, and now the opportunity that is before him at the Demons. Was Melbourne always the right pick, the right home for him?
I always thought Essendon was the best fit for him, personally. But Melbourne need guys who can kick goals. Tom McDonald, despite his amazing 2018, simply hasn't been that. And they traded away Jesse Hogan. And they ended up bringing in Stephen May for a pick that they could have drafted someone like a Ben King with. Now, I think Stephen May's been an excellent pickup, by the way. I'm not criticising that. But what I'm saying is they needed a guy to straighten them up and to take marks. I think Simon Goodwin clearly believes that they have to change the way they move the ball inside 50, because if you've watched Melbourne the last couple of years, like the man that usually sits in this chair, Jared Healy, does as closely as him, you would know that they don't have a lot of problem getting footy inside 50, but the way it bounces out of there, the way they just sky the ball in, is Ben Brown that person? Well, no, he's not. And I think one of the reasons that Reece Shaw, who was obviously coach at the time, that made the decision to let him go, wanted Ben out was that they didn't think he was going to be that tall, high-marking forward that can hold up a contest up the line for a long 50-metre plunge kick, for want of a better term. So I think it's a really interesting pickup. I do believe that they're going to have to lower their eyes a lot more if they're going to get the best out of Ben Brown.
I was impressed with how Luke Jackson came along this year.
Yeah, and he's a kid.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sam Wiedemann improved this year, but still has a ways to go.
I like Wiedemann.
It sets you up kind of with that elder statesman in Ben Brown up forward, Sam Wiedemann to the inexperienced Luke Jackson as well, if you were to play all three.
Yeah, and then, you know, we get to the guys who left. So Mitch Hannon, I think a lot of Melbourne fans were sad to see him go because they saw some of the ability that he had. And Braden Pruce just was an odd pickup from the start and didn't work because he was never going to play in the same team as Max Gawn.
Correct.
Pruce needed to be the number one ruckman somewhere, which is why he left North Melbourne in the first place. Great move for him going to GWS. But, you know, I think it was a good bit of business letting him go. It helped them get Ben Brown. So, yeah, they needed a full forward and they didn't need Pruce. So I think it's and they did a lot of pick swaps as well. So they've got 18, 19, 28 now, three picks in the top 30. I quite like what they've done, but I think we won't know if the Ben Brown pickup has been a success until we see their game plan.
No, absolutely. And you mentioned the pick swaps. I think it was Brisbane, Adelaide and Sydney. They've entered into pick swaps with certainly the biggest of those, as you mentioned, with the Brisbane Lions to get picks 18 and 19. They have 50 and 89 at the latter end. But it'll be interesting to see how many draft picks teams use this year. Given the restricted list sizes, you only have to use one pick as a minimum this year, which is fewer than previous years. So certainly 18 and 19 will come in handy. We've been seeing teams that don't have a pick inside the top 40. Mm. So certainly 18 and 19, well positioned. Let's move on to North Melbourne. We know it's a rebuilding team. Jaden Stevenson and Boston Vilagi come across from Collingwood. Aiden Corr comes in from Greater Western Sydney, and Lachie Young comes into the side as well. Aidan Corr's an interesting one. He was wooed by Reece Shaw, and then when he gets there, the senior coach is no longer there. But as we spoke about earlier in the show, Sam, I think David Noble is really going to be suited to this young group, and a player like Aidan Corr can really thrive under his tutelage.
Well, I mean, there are people at GWS that didn't want Corr to go, and say what you want about Corr, he was consistently picked week in, week out for a very, very good team. He comes in there as a senior body, takes a best forward every week. I don't mind him as a pickup. Lachie Young, I think, can play good footy at North Melbourne. I'm not sure if Bacenavalagi is going to just go straight to the team and they're going to try to develop him, or has to fight for his place. And Stevenson, I reckon, will be utilised as a wingman and a mid and not just as a forward. And they've got picks 2 and 11. So, yeah, I think, again, I'm not trying to stay on the fence here like I was with Melbourne, but until we know what David Noble brings to this group early, it's going to be hard to judge them. You know, he said in his presser today, and I know we spoke to him a little earlier on the show, that he didn't want to be judged on wins and losses, which is what all coaches say that come in to a young developing side. But ultimately, we are going to judge them on that.
What says to you that Jaden Stevenson doesn't play primarily forward? I'm just thinking of who North Melbourne has cut, and we mentioned Ben Brown gone as well. It seems to me they need a target up forward.
But he's not that, is he? He's not a target forward.
No, he's not a big target, but...
No, he needs... I think Stevenson's at his best when he's roaming. I think he got worked out a little bit in the last 18 months. Granted, he had a tough year with injury, and you know, in 2018 he had a tough year off field with a gambling scenario. I would like to see Stevenson start forward, push up, attend a couple of centre bounces, start in the wing and push forward. I think he's dynamic. I think he's young. I think he's got a lot of growth in him. And you know, I was so interested hearing from him last week when I was on leave, and the press conference of him saying, "I got a bit of a chip on my shoulder."
Yeah.
Well, wow, it's an interesting way something to approach, your first pre-season, but he's got a bit of spunk, Stevenson, which I like.
And hopefully that can flourish further at North Melbourne. We mentioned Ben Brown. Sean Higgins, to me, is a massive loss to this team. Just his experience and leadership. Purely his leadership, even. I think he's fantastic around the group.
If you take best and fairest and goals into account, they've arguably lost two of their best four players of the last 3 years.
Yep.
Really. I mean, how many times can you say that about a club in a trade period?
Well, which is stunning, and I mean, we always knew that North Melbourne's rebuild was literally going to be from the ground up. And yeah, Sean Higgins, it is a massive coup for Geelong, as we spoke about last week, but I think they just lose a lot of leadership and a lot of experience there, and it really falls onto the shoulders of Zeeble and Cunnington now to lead this group. There's not a lot of backup leadership in what is a very, very young team.
Tomorrow night's the preliminary finalists, the Power and the Tigers, as we arrive at our final six club trade reviews. For Wilson Homes, this is Sports Day. You can chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyle. Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. You know, Shane, having known me for a while now, that I'm very anti The reverse Moz.
Yeah, I know you are.
The reverse Moz. I don't like it. I don't like when people get away with it. And our next guest, Daniel Garb, did exactly that last night when he tweeted a couple of hours before kickoff that he thought Liverpool's unbeaten run at Anfield was going to come to an end because Leicester had been in very good form away, and also Liverpool were ravaged with injury. But as soon as he sent that tweet out, as soon as it went into the ether, there was no way that they were going to lose. And they didn't. They won quite comfortably in the end, even with Firmino scoring the goal that wasn't. That's the closest ever goal that never crossed the line that I've ever seen. Anyway, let's welcome Daniel Garb. Garby, well done on the reverse Moz.
Very good, Samuel. Very good. I'll pay that. It wasn't quite Liverpool will lose. It was, you know.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
For them against Leicester side that is exceptional away from home up until this morning. And as you said, Liverpool's team looked a shadow of its best 11. So, yeah, I was fearful. I was certainly fearful. But, you know, I was never doubting this team. I perhaps thought it might be a stern test for them and Leicester might get something from the game. But, yeah, they're just an incredible squad. And the mentality of this group, no matter who comes in, is just something to behold. It doesn't matter if you haven't played for 3 months. They'll step in and run through a wall for Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, they do actually remind me of the Liverpool side that was dominant through Rafa Benitez's years, through Fernando Torres' peak of powers. Anyway, we digress. Hey, Garby, I thought Tottenham at the start of the year were a bit of hot air, I've got to be honest. They haven't run out of steam, though. Is Jose Mourinho's side a legitimate chance of winning the title this year, do you think? Or is it still too early to tell?
Look, it's early, but I think there's reason to be confident about that. If they can get through to Christmas in this position where they're close with Liverpool and Chelsea, who are going along very well at the moment, then I'd say so in a season like this where, as we know, being basically neutral venues all the way through and probably going to stay that way considering the state of things in the UK, considering the corona numbers, that, there's certainly a very big chance. The key for them is keeping Heung-Min Song and Harry Kane fit.
Yep.
If they keep those two fit, then they've got an incredible duo and a combination that is as strong as any in the competition when it comes to contributing in front of goal. And Mourinho is getting into the mentality of this team. You can tell. He's starting to have an impact. He's still got a bit of a special touch about him, which was the big question mark about Spurs going into the season. So a big win over City. City are a worry, though. I look at that team and I just go, where's the intimidation coming from? You know, where is the physicality of this Man City team coming from? Where's the Yaya Toure of years gone by?
Yeah.
Where's the Vincent Kompany? They're all beautiful footballers. But in the Premier League, you need some mongrel. Look at all the great teams of the past. They've all had, a Tony Adams and a Vieira at Arsenal. All the United players, the Keane, the Ferdinand, the Vidic types. Where is that in this Man City squad? Where's the Van Dijk or the Henderson or the Fabinho? There's nothing like that. So when they're not at their best, they're very easy to run over at the moment. That's a big worry for Pep.
Yeah, it's been difficult to see the demise of Manchester City. I've certainly been saving all my tears with that one. With Chelsea, Garvey, I feel like they're a little bit similar to City, to be honest. They look really potent. And that side that Frank Lampard keeps picking with basically five attacking players forward of N'Golo Kante, they look great going forward. For me, they still look brittle in defence. Do they need to sort that out before being considered a genuine contender?
I would say so, but it's starting to be alleviated, that defensive issue, with the change in goals. I think Mendy has looked really strong, hasn't he?
And Silva,
and they've removed that problem that was Kepa in between the sticks, and that's starting to permeate throughout the team. A keeper in form, a keeper who looks confident, instills confidence in an entire team defensively. So you can see that starting to marinate itself in that Chelsea back line. But going forward, they look really promising. They'll be inconsistent. There's no way that Chelsea can be stable all season long when they've had so much change in the team. But the changes come with extreme talent. And you look at the players they've brought in. They'll be hot for periods. Then they'll have a dip for a game or two, and then they'll get back to it. I think they're a top four team. Whether they can mount a title challenge, we'll wait and see. But they're playing some lovely football at the moment. Their first half against Newcastle was really strong away from home.
Garby, before we bring it back to Australia, let's go via Doha, because that's where a number of A-League teams are fulfilling their Asian Champions League commitments at the moment. I want to talk about Melbourne Victory. We had Grant Bremner on the program last week, and he was looking forward to getting this group together over in Qatar, but even he admitted that this isn't my priority. This Champions League will be an opportunity to get the team on the field, but it's all about preparing for the A-League season proper at the moment. Is that a normal approach for an A-League team, or is Grant Bremner somewhat special here?
I think he's probably trying to dull and dilute expectations a little bit, which is fair from a manager stepping into his first season in charge. The Asian Champions League is incredibly difficult for Australian teams. They just don't have the budgets to match it with the Asian teams and the millions they've got to spend and the resources they've got at their disposal. So a new manager coming in, he knows the expectations at the Melbourne Victory. He knows that every time they step on the field, their fans, and there's already 15,000 members signed up already for next season, they're a big club. They want this team to be super competitive, and they want this team to go out there and win every game they can. But he knows it's going to be very difficult in the Asian Champions League. So he's probably just trying to, be a little bit tactical with that as he steps into this competition, while at the same time, behind closed doors, trying to get this team to produce as well as they can straight away. They've got a number of new signings coming in, the likes of Callum McManaman and Jacob Butterfield and Ben Salami. They're still looking for a new striker. So it's very difficult for him to get them to produce their best football right now when there's so much change at the club. But he knows the competitive streak in Bremner. When they step out on their pitch, he'll he'll want to win. But, you know, expectations for the Aussie teams throughout this competition can't be high because it's just so difficult, especially in this unique hub situation in Qatar.
In any other year, we're well and truly into the A-League season by now. It won't start until the December 27th. Fixture to be released tomorrow, Garvey. What are we expecting from the A-League in terms of a fixture? Will they just open it up and have teams playing at their respective home grounds and maybe an asterisk in case they have to go to a hub situation? What's the plan?
Yeah, hard to know at this stage. I guess the only state that's a big concern at the moment is WA. So perhaps the first month or so is the Glory playing outside of WA, and then they reassess things after that if Mark McGowan decides to open up the borders. Other than that, I think it'll be okay for the rest of the country. And one of the interesting points for Melbourne will be where Western United plays, because there's a lot of talk that they want to play at Amy Park, which means you'll have all three teams from Melbourne playing at Amy Park. Western United at Amy Park, I'm not sure I get that. I mean, what are they doing? They're not really forging their own identity out there in the west of Melbourne if they're playing at Amy Park, the same stadium as Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory. So that's a weird one for me.
Garvey,
that's going to be the one that really grabs our attention.
I couldn't agree with you more. And when I heard this last week, that I know that Melbourne Victory and Melbourne City aren't overly impressed with it. They've tried to make this home ground. We saw Western United last year play down at GMHBA Stadium while they wait for their new stadium in Tarnit. But I thought this franchise was all about capturing that western side of town, west of the Westgate Bridge. So Geelong, Ballarat, all of a sudden they're coming back into the city. And I mean, the city is controlled by Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory primarily.
Yeah, and they're fans that they're starting to grow out there. Mm. They're going to trek all the way to Amy Park to watch
Correct.
Their team all of a sudden play in a stadium that, you know, the two big teams in Melbourne already occupy. You're not building anything there. And, you know, what this is going to do, if that does happen to be the case, is put the microscope firmly on them from the members of the football community and the members of the football media saying, well, when's your new stadium going to be built? Mm. All right, COVID's affected everything, but that's what your bid was sold on. A stadium that you owned, a football-first stadium that you owned out in the West for the people. What's happening with it? Because if you don't have that stadium, your bid doesn't seem to be that strong. Mm. And the future of this club, unfortunately, is something that people are going to have question marks around. I'd love to see them play at Melbourne Knights Stadium at the old Addenza Park. Play out there, a proper football venue out in Melbourne's west, and start connecting with the locals and start to attract some of those real football people who are probably keen to watch some professional football through the summer and through those periods. But playing at Amy Park, to me, it just doesn't make sense.
Totally agree.
Garvey, you're not only one of the leading voices of soccer in this country, you're also a West Coast Nuffie. What chance for the flag next year?
I think a reasonably good one. Teams are competitive when you look at the recruiting of Geelong and St Kilda and the Dogs and so on and so forth. But I love the Alex Witherden recruit. I think that's going to be a good one for the Eagles. His foot skills out of the fence are going to be very handy, and hopefully Zach Langdon adds a few goals. So if we can keep injury free, I think we've still got a bevy of A-graders that can lead us to a premiership challenge. But there's so many teams competing, it's hard to be confident. But I can't wait for it. We've got a couple of years, don't we, the Eagles, and then we might just fall off the cliff a little bit when too many players get a bit too old. So the next 2 years are critical.
I'm not so sure. I actually quite like the West Coast.
I like some youngsters. Of the young kids coming through
so do I reckon,
as well. They're maturing well.
I reckon they're going to be pretty good for a while, but we digress. So, Garvey, great to have you on.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Daniel Garb there from the World Game. His knowledge of the game is just second to none for mine when it comes
When it comes to football journos in this country, the fact that he can talk about all the different codes, be it Premier League, A-League, he knows what's happening. Very, very good man.
I don't mean to go back in time now, but I know that Optus are doing great things with the EPL coverage, and I've finally bought their yearly package. But I yearn for the days of staying up until 1:30 in the morning watching live EPL, and at halftime you go and make your cup of tea or coffee or whatever it was to keep you up, and there's Garvey doing a cross on the touchline. No, but seriously, like it felt so special being such a small country in Australia, and yet having a guy there on the touchline at Old Trafford at halftime between Manchester United and Manchester City, the biggest game in the world at that time, at that moment, and there he is delivering. Do you remember the desk as well with Mark Bosnich and Robbie Slater and trying to think who else is on it. Tara Rushton, maybe. Adam Peacock. Thank you, Benny.
We're biased because we're very fortunate to work in this industry, but I always think it's great to have someone on the ground at a location to be able to
agree. That's your own.
Correct. Yeah. To take in what is happening, to bring in all the stories, the atmosphere together, and it just simply localizes it. Because, you know, fans aren't stupid. They know when you're taking Sky or BBC coverage.
Yeah.
But to have your
guy...
You don't
feel as connected.
Correct. To have your guy there who will touch on and talk about the topics relevant to the Australian audience, I think it's something the broadcasters very much need to keep in mind.
I agree. He's a great man, Garby. Very good at what he does. More Sports Day to come for Wilson Homes. Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you'd love being home. Sam McClure and Shane McGuinness with you on this Monday night. An exciting... Well, it promises to be exciting for a lot of talented youngsters, does the national draft. But for those who have been discarded, I reckon the next few weeks is going to be very, very nerve-wracking. Shane?
It's hard when you still want to play the game, Sam.
And with list sizes reducing.
Absolutely.
Makes it even harder. Shane Savage, I think, would still be on St Kilda's list if the list sizes had stayed the same. I reckon he's one of those unlucky ones that has just fallen on the other side of the line. And by the way, Hunter Clark and Nick Caulfield coming on in the way that they have has probably hurt him as well. Ironically, he would have helped develop them in the last 2 or 3 years from that running halfback flanker. Anyway, you and I spoke with him earlier. Take a listen.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys. Look, I'm still keen. The body and mind's feeling good. Like you said, I'm only 29 going on 30, but feeling pretty young. So I'm looking forward to hopefully... continuing my career elsewhere.
That's because you are young, Shane. 29 going on 30 is a great age, and you should say that you are young because you are. You announced the
in
news.
40 years.
You're still young in general years. You announced the news on Twitter, Shane. I think you sat on it for a few days. You got in before the club. What was the reason for that?
Yeah, look, I was hoping it wasn't taken out of context, but look, I found out on Thursday, and I told the club to just give me a few days to just digest it with my family. So I went away and just stood on it for a little bit. And I thought, you know, the whispers are starting to get a bit louder over the weekend. And I thought Sunday night was a perfect opportunity to get it all out there and do it on my terms. And, the club are really supportive of it. I probably put them on the back foot a little bit, but, there was no animosity between us. It was fine. And, I'm sort of glad I did it that way, to be honest.
Shane, I loved your honesty on Twitter, admitting that it did hit you hard. After all, you spent many years at St Kilda before that at Hawthorn as an AFL player. This is the tough side of professional sport I think a lot of fans often forget about. We can watch you run down the wing, we can watch you thrive on the field, but we forget about the tough side of sport when it can come to an end with a club.
Absolutely. It took a massive toll on me the past 7 weeks. Just the unknown and not having an idea on where I stand and whether I'd get a contract or not was quite debilitating at times. And me and my partner struggled with it. But in a way, it didn't go my way. But it was a relief to finally have an answer. And it just felt like a weight off my shoulders. And it's a real shame that I didn't get a contract, but just there isn't as much mental strain.
How do you sell yourself now to another club? What's the process for someone in your position who has so much experience at the highest level? He's obviously a known quantity. Teams and coaches know what they'd be picking up. Do you go out and sell yourself? Do you work with your manager to chat with clubs? What's the process?
Yeah, look, hopefully my manager's putting in a good word out there, but... I'm hoping most clubs were watching the semi-final against Richmond, and clearly my form is still there. I can clearly continue to have a real impact at AFL level. And sorry, I'm quite a humble man, so I don't really like to pump my own tyres up here. But
that's okay, Shane. We can do it for you. Don't worry about that.
But look, I've got experience, and I can come into an AFL side and play footy straight away. But in saying that, I'm experienced enough now to start developing young players and being a mentor and start to really guide some youngsters and potentially help them.
Would you play into state, Shane?
Absolutely. I've spoken to to my wife about it, and we're prepared for a journey ahead. I mean, I've grown up and I've played in Melbourne my whole career, so if that arises, then yeah, we'd be keen for another adventure.
And your reflection on your time at the Saints, obviously very fruitful after you moved from the Hawks. I know it probably hasn't ended the way that you wanted to, although your last game for the club was a semi-final, so you were held in obviously pretty high esteem. How do you think their place, because their improvement has been very quick in the last couple of years in particular?
Yeah, it sure has. I'm obviously really proud of the career I've had at the Saints. To play 100 games and have my name on the locker is something I'll always cherish. But yeah, look, they're in really good shape. They've traded in some really good players the last couple of years. Crouch, Hill, Hanbury as well, and Jones, who've had a real impact at the club. And I think, you know, Gags and Rats have put the list in a really good position to hopefully bring some success to the club, which is well overdue.
Shane, if there isn't to be another opportunity, how do you transition now from a footballer's life into more normality? Do you think about that in case there isn't an opportunity at another club?
Absolutely. You know, I am starting to prepare off field. I mean, if a club does come, then it's a bonus. But it excites me. It scares me. I've never had a job outside of footy. But you know, the club and the AFLPA are, you know, really supportive throughout this period. So I'm sure I'm going to have a lot of support, and you know, I'm sure if a club doesn't come, there'll be a lot of local clubs kind of ringing me up to, you know, hopefully come and play and potentially get a job through there. So I'm not too sure what the future looks like, what my career looks like outside of footy. I've got a few avenues I might go down, but I'm really excited.
Just impressed at how grounded you are, and I think you made an excellent point that it's not just about Shane Savage the player, but Shane Savage the tutor, the teacher, that can certainly help a younger team. And as Sam said, the fact that you're willing to move interstate, that certainly opens up the opportunity.
Yep. Shane, it's been a really good career so far, 165 games. You're still young in footy terms, 29. Let's hope that it continues with a third club. Good luck.
Appreciate it. Thanks, boys.
Shane Savage there, former Hawk, former Saint, hoping for a lifeline in 2021. Does he play AFL football next year?
I think he does. Yeah. I think a lower-ranked team will be able to,
like, who, though?
give him a crack.
Adelaide?
Next season. It's hard for him, too, because...
North?
Do you want to move interstate as well, just to continue your AFL dream?
I'd be more happy to move to Adelaide now than I was a week ago.
Yes, that's true.
Hmm. Incredible story. The 6-day lockdown that turned into 2 days because the man from the pizza shop lied.
Mm. Well, that's all it took. One lie.
For me, the most incredible story of 2020, to be honest.
Oh, hotel quarantine and the way that it was handled.
No, you're right. Hotel quarantine, just slightly bigger.
The guards doing things to the patrons that they shouldn't have been.
Another big show done. This has been Sports Day for Wilson Homes. You can chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyle. Shane and I will be back tomorrow on Sports Day.